The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling
now.
My shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Ding, 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 ding. Good morning, Basinonians. Ron Wolfley and Doug Franz, the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning, broadcasting high atop the Auction Community Studios on a Wednesday, on a Quasimodo Wednesday. Happy hump day to you, Basinonians. You're at the crest, right? The apex, getting ready to go down that hill into your weekend, right? Yes, master. How you doing this morning, Douglas?
I'm doing great. The Coyotes scored a goal.
Okay, Coyotes scored a goal. Problematic, of course, because the Coyotes still have not scored an even-strength goal. Very interesting, isn't it?
That's very.
Still, how many games now have they actually played? Don't worry about
five.
It, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, they're struggling. They're struggling. And yet, it's the fifth consecutive game the Coyotes have outshot their opponent as well. Stop and think about that.
That's impossible.
It is impossible. It's totally impossible. Fifth consecutive game, you could look at him and say, man, you know what? You're generating some scoring opportunities. Nobody's been able to actually bury it in the back. That's the problem. One of them.
If you get a chance, tweet me today, at Doug987FM. I have a simple question for you.
Machado, is he dirty or is he not?
We already know the answer. We already know the answer to that.
Really?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that was
what
trash.
He did. You're saying what he did right.
Listen,
there. That was it?
I realize totally that it's an indictment of the game. I'm not afraid to admit it, that when the definition of dirty in football versus the definition of dirty in baseball are so drastically different that if you don't love baseball and you see that play, you're thinking, you call that dirty and you'll either call me a wuss or the game a wuss. I accept that, but to do what he did in baseball, it's really easy to rupture somebody's Achilles doing that.
Easily. You're right about that.
And to run on the inside of the bag and,
what are you doing?
And drop your left foot like it's dead weight so you know it hits in combination with the slides into second with the arm up.
Oh!
Slides into second, feet, and you're trying to take somebody out, more power to you. Why don't you do it more often? I hate the wussification of America.
So you're talking
but
about the
slides with the arms up? That's totally, I need to make sure that I'm bringing you down in a way that will cause injury on top of it.
Oh, I see. So what you're saying is Orlando Arcia understands what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
of the slides
yes.
he's had there.
Yes.
I see.
So when you put that in combination with Machado, it's like, okay, that's who this guy is. And then
oh,
to
didn't
pull
he cleat Dustin Pedroia
yeah,
as
yeah,
well?
Yeah. This guy, this is
last year, wasn't
this
it?
This is who this guy is.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, right now, apparently he's got a reputation for this kind of thing,
yes.
and that's classless.
If you didn't see it last night, late in the game, Machado ground ball running to first, Aguiar stretches, plays clearly over, and all of a sudden the left foot of Machado, the left leg, acts like it's just dead, and it drags across the base, clipping the top of the foot of Aguiar right in his calf muscle, and it would then lead to everybody a typical baseball fight, which is everybody arguing, benches cleared, nothing happens. But it was just such a play that you look at Machado, and I would actually give Machado a little room if he played hard all
oh
the time.
Goodness, just,
it just appeared
just
on TV
bad.
In front of us. If he played hard all the time, I almost give you a little bit of a pass. When he rarely plays hard and is dirty,
yeah,
that's just crap.
That's cruddy right there, yeah. right? It's like my mother always used to say that money doesn't give somebody nobility. Money doesn't give you nobility. All the money in the world doesn't make one noble, Basinonians. Never forget that, does it, Manny Machado? That's just classless and clueless, I would say. Some would say in the Latin, stupidness.
Is that really a Latin word?
Yeah. I kind of made that one up.
That's what I've always assumed.
stupidness.
I'm going to start starting five early. You know why?
Why?
I can't believe.
You got some good stuff? Is that what you're saying?
I can't believe what number one's going to be. Like, if you heard it yesterday, you already know what number one's going to be.
Yeah.
I still can't believe it.
You still can't believe you're number one, even though you've got the starting five ready to go.
It's the number one for anybody that would be, you know, articulating number one, so it's not my number one. But when I heard this yesterday, I thought, there's no way that just happened. I mean, there's no way. That really happened.
Manny Machado just kicked Aguilar?
You know, that's number three.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five.
How good is he, Benny?
You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
Vince, good morning. I'm glad you're a part of this.
Leading off at number five.
Oh, yeah, leading off. Number five is your Arizona Coyotes, a loser, 2-1. First goal let in, not good at all. It was actually pretty ugly by Minnesota to tie it up 1-1, but the Coyotes actually scored first on the power play. They're up 1-0. They give up a second goal, or excuse me, that first goal, which really, really stunk by Kemper. But other than that, he was outstanding the rest of the way in some of the saves, but then let in a second goal in the third, and the Coyotes could not score, and they lose 2-1 at Minnesota.
They've got a -7 goal diff, Basinonians. That's penultimate to the Detroit Red Wings, -16. Think about that for a minute.
How did the Red Wings get there?
-16, dead last in the league.
Number four.
Number four is the question that will not go away until probably he goes away, whether it's fair or not. Mike McCoy is your job on the line this week.
We're preparing like any other week.
Oh.
Our objective every week is to go out and win the next game that you're playing. That's our focus.
It's well done right there, Coach. On to the next game. On to Cincinnati.
Number three!
Number three this morning, you heard us talk about it. Manny Machado and the LA Dodgers. First of all, what happened as far as the actual game is concerned is a nice walk-off.
Ground ball, base hit into right field. Machado's on his way home. Throw to the plate, and the Dodgers will win it. They win it 2-1.
In the bottom of the 13th inning, but that's not what everybody was talking about. It was Machado trying to take out Aguilar.
I have a lot of respect for him as a player, but you can't respect someone who plays the game like that.
That is possible MVP Christian Yelich of the Brewers. Manny, what do you think about Yelich not respecting you?
I play baseball. I go out there, I try to win for my team, so... if that's their comments, those are their comments, so, you know, I can't do nothing about that.
Being dirty has nothing to do with trying to win.
Amen.
Number two!
Number two is tonight. Suns and the era of Booker Ayton begins. DeAndre yesterday.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. You know, officially playing in front of all the fans. Obviously, I don't want to show it, but trust me, I'm doing backflips in my mind right now.
You know what, like honestly, and so it begins. Grow strong, Grasshopper.
Big fan of that kid. Devin Booker, are you ready? Is your hand all right?
You know, the soreness, you know, able to take hits on it, which, you know, I've taken plenty of hits in practice now, and now I trust it and believe that, you know, it's ready to go for full contact, and that's what I've been doing the past week.
Have you really been taking hits in practice? Because without P.J. Tucker, I wonder.
What are you doing?
Yeah, that's
whacking
true
out Devin's head in practice.
Yeah, somehow I what don't think those are the same game competition hits.
Hey, listen, can I talk to you, please?
Number one.
The number one thing you need to know about is an email that was sent to me through a guy in Denver. And the guy in Denver says, "We have never heard him talk like this." Then I hit play.
I wouldn't say it's a must win. We're going to kick their ass, though. Make sure you put that up there. We're going to kick their ass.
That's the Broncos' Von Miller, and he's playing at State Farm Stadium tomorrow night.
Sounds like an easy target, Vaughn.
There's your number one coming up next. Trash talk has started. Let's bring in a friend, ESPN 710 Seattle host and ESPN college football analyst Brock Huard on how he sees Von Miller. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Pretty cool for the next 2 days at 6:15. live here in the Octon Community Studios. Brock Huard is sitting in on the Doug and Wolf Show. I don't know how we talked him into this when he's got his own show to get ready for.
Yeah.
But from, is it 7 to 10? Are you on normally 7 to 10? That's Brock and Salk on ESPN 710 Seattle.
Boy, isn't that comfortable.
And, oh, you know, look at you trying to negotiate.
That's 7 o'clock in the morning. That's beautiful,
and,
isn't it?
So he's going on the air in Seattle in about 45 minutes, but he is also with ESPN Television, and he's got the play-by-play of ASU Stanford Thursday, so he's in town today. So we're going to be talking heavy Sun Devil Cardinal and coming up tomorrow with Brock, but today is a lot of NFL. First of all, how are you? How's the flight?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, all's good. You know, I get to stay in the Western time zone for a game. That's great.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know. We were just chatting off the air how your buddy Dave Pasch does it.
Oh, my goodness.
He does two games a week. So I'm doing the Thursday, and then we head for Oklahoma TCU Saturday.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a little bit of mayhem.
And he's got the Suns on ESPN tonight.
Yeah, and Pasch does everything. I don't know how he does it. That guy's amazing.
So good free plug for Dave Pasch. Hopefully he's not listening because he'll expect more, which is always going to be bad. I'll just throw it to you guys because I loved the email I received yesterday when it just simply said, we've never heard him sound like this. And for those of you who don't know, Brock and Wolf and I, we all work for one company, and the company's called Bonneville, and our company owns a radio station in Denver.
So, great company.
So in a sense, it was a coworker, even though we have no idea who it was, that wrote that. I've never heard him say this. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? It's NFL, it's cliche, whatever. Then I hit play and heard Von Miller, linebacker of the Broncos, looking ahead to Thursday Night Football.
Last 2 weeks, I mean, we had a 200-yard rusher. We had a 200-yard rusher the last 2 weeks, so, you know, I get where he's coming from, but, you know, that was the last 2 weeks. You know, this week is totally different. We're going to get everybody's best this week. They're going to get our whole team's best, and that starts with me. They're going to get my best this week, and we're going to go out there and we're going to kick their ass. That's the way I'm feeling.
Is it a must-win? Come on.
I wouldn't say it's a must-win. We're going to kick their ass, though.
Oh!
Make sure you put that up there. We're going to kick their ass.
Whoa!
Ooh, that's a three-peat.
Why'd you put that up there?
And full disclosure,
I wanted to get that out there.
I know maybe you got kids in the car. We try to avoid the word ass as much as possible.
Indeed.
On this show.
No doubt.
Basically, the reason why is because one day who's now 18, she was 4, and she said, damn, in the hallway. And
that's,
I said,
right.
Where did you hear that? And she said, from you. You say it on the radio. And I thought, oh, okay.
So yeah, we bleep that word in Seattle.
Yeah,
we don't play that up
so
there.
So I'm only doing it because it's real early in the morning. But, oh, my. Brock, have you ever, I mean, we've heard trash talk, but that's not trash talk.
Not
that's
in the,
smack in the face.
Not in this NFL. Well, maybe in your NFL.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, but in this NFL where you say anything, you know, and anything that crosses line, as you said earlier, it's going to get blown up.
Yes.
And it's going to get talked about in Seattle and Arizona and Denver and Florida, kind of everywhere. So, no, you don't see that too often.
Don't you think, Brock, he meant to do that? I mean, I think he chose that, right?
Well, I don't think there's any question. And the start of that clip was, you know, John Elway called his team soft.
If you
exactly
didn't hear it,
right.
John Elway was on Orange and Blue, which I think is like a Broncos type of show on 760 AM in Denver. And he said,
obviously, we've got very soft in there. And to give up the amount of yards we have the last 2 weeks has been tough. And so, you know, we're not playing very well inside. And, you know, obviously, we've played some good teams. The Rams are a good rushing team. Gurley's a very, very good back. But, you know, that is a big, big concern right now. We've got to figure out how to get that solved.
Woo!
There's two words you never, ever, 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 ever want to hear as a football player.
Yes.
I never wanted a competitor to ever say these two words about me.
Okay.
You were soft.
Yes.
And you were scared. I think those are the worst words you could ever say to a football player. Oh, man, I played against that guy. He was soft.
Scared.
I played that QB. Oh, you hit him. He was scared. He
Those
was scared.
Those two words go together, though, don't they?
They do.
Soft and scared.
They do. And
no
I
doubt.
Think there's no doubt about it, Wolf, that is why it elicited that response from Vaughn. Not these Cardinals are going to play tomorrow night.
Sure.
You have a Hall of Famer. You have arguably one of the greatest players ever play the game in John Elway. And he just called your team, and you're the captain of it. You're making the most
right.
money. You're the frontline guy. He just called you and your team soft.
You know, I honestly think he's just a frustrated guy right now. Vaughn Miller's got a lot of pride, right? A frustrated vet. He's got a lot of pride. He's trying to motivate himself. He's trying to motivate his team. I think he just told the truth about how he feels. And the Cardinals better know this right here. They need to know this. Number one, he means it.
Yes, he does.
And number two, what are you going to do about it?
Then he went further and threw Chubb, I wouldn't say under the bus, but had Chubb join him on the bus that he thinks is going to run the Cardinals over.
Like I said before, we playing our best. I don't think there's nobody in the league that could block me or Bradley. We just got to go out there and play, especially, you know, not the Cardinals. They're going to get our best on Thursday. They got to come with their best.
Let me just say, apparently, there are guys that can block you because they have been.
But how about, listen, I don't think there's anybody that can block us. Okay, that's you believe in your team, blah, blah, blah. And then did you hear him slip in, especially the Cardinals?
Like I said before, we playing our best. I don't think there's nobody in the league that could block me and Bradley. We just got to go out there and play, especially, you know, not the Cardinals. They're going to get our best on Thursday. They got to come with their best.
Brock, this is real.
Oh, gosh, this is great fodder.
Who wins is Fox. Fox is like, wow, we didn't think this game mattered.
Yeah, I think so. You ever talk any smack, Wolf?
You know what?
On the football field, I did. You did? Yeah, what was your go-to?
To my eternal shame. I to this day, Brock, I really? Kid you not, I walk up to guys that I played against. I just apologize profusely to them. I do. Bill Bates. You remember Bill Boy Bates?
Oh, the safety.
Bates,
okay? Cowboys, yeah.
Safety. Bill Boy Bates. He actually, I forget what it was he was doing. He was working with some vitamin company or something, and he was in the facility. And I used to have legendary battles with them twice a year, right? Because they used to be in the NFC East and just punching each other in the face, running down the field, just screaming at them, "You created me, Bill! Look at what you've created!" This is what I used to say to him, Brock. And, you know,
Silence of the Lambs wasn't created yet, so you did not do the dance.
No, I did this. I put my arms out, literally, "You created me, Bill, and now your better has come," right? I mean, this is what I used to say to him, and then I saw him,
in real life.
I walked up to him, and I said, "Bill, I just want to apologize to you. You know, Ron, I just wanted to apologize." I shook his hand and said, "I'm sorry for everything I did." He looked at me and said, "Who are you?" I mean, Brock, it was like, this is really an emotional moment for me to just apologize to this man and shake his hand. And he said, "Who are you?" Ron Wolfley.
And then you flailed your arms right back at him, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you made me. And I'll hit you again here.
it was just so weird. But anyways, that was the way that it was played during the game. But man, you didn't say anything before the game. That was never. That was just taboo.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering if you just tuned in, Brock Huard from 710 ESPN is in studio because he's doing the game on ESPN for Sun Devils and Stanford. What's Josh Rosen thinking right now when he hears, you mentioned earlier, soft and scared. We haven't seen that from Josh Rosen, but he's never been a professional athlete with one of the legends of the game, at least the current game, saying that I'm coming after everybody. Is he a little scared right now?
Yeah, this is when you lean into those linemen, right? This is even as a rookie, this is when you lean into those guys and you hope that they have the conversation, that you don't have to bring anything up, that they're the ones, but you make sure you go eat lunch with them. You make sure you maybe even take them out to dinner. Make sure you bring him a couple little goodies. You just kind of buddy up to those big boys that are going to be blocking those two monsters. And my hunch is those guys are going to say, "I got you, man. I got your back. I got your back," and he's not going to do nothing to you.
This might be the shortest game in the history of the National Football League. I think they're going to line up. They're going to run the ball. Yep. Both teams. Stop and think about it right now. I've never seen this, Brock. I've been around the league for 3 decades now in one capacity or the other. I've never seen a rush defense dead last in the league in yards per game and yards per play, going against a rush offense, dead last in the league in yards per game, yards per play. Yep. I've never seen that in 3 decades. Dead last in both of those metrics. And again, it's not all knowing, all telling, but when you watch the film, you can see it.
Yes. Yeah, and you're going to want to. And if you're Arizona, you're going to want to run right at him. What does Von Miller want to do? He wants to get into third down so he can do exactly that, he and Jeb. What have they not wanted to do? Stop the run on first down, and that's what Elway's saying. That's what Elway's saying to his best players on that team is we're just soft. We were just soft. And that response, that great audio that's going to be played nationwide,
yes,
it's going to be talked about the rest of the day, going to be talked about tomorrow, it's going to be played up, I'm sure, by a bunch of those players, they're going to want to hit him and run right into, you know, that mouth.
Before the stoppable force meets the movable object.
Yeah.
Yes.
Before we let you go, this is Brock Huard, 710, or ESPN 710 in Seattle. You're going over to Tempe today to do your broadcast meetings to get to talk to Coach Herm Edwards, ASU, get ready for your broadcast. What do you want to know? Going into today, what do you want to know about ASU-Stanford from the ASU side?
Yeah, the nice thing is I got a chance to call the Washington-ASU game.
Okay.
So we had a couple weeks ago, whenever you get that, and you know that, Wolf, later in the year when you have your repeat team, you're like, oh, I got, you know, I've got a pretty good body of work going into this thing. So I've got a pretty good feel for Herm. I've known him for years. I actually spent about an hour with him yesterday.
Okay.
And taped one of my Above and Beyond podcasts with him, which
That's
was
awesome.
Just absolutely incredible. He's just a tremendous human being. He is, you know, he's exactly what you think he is. His perception and reality are the same. So, but, you know, I want to know, and I've got a pretty good sense even yesterday that they're back on track. They're right there. You know, they lost 3-1 possession games. Our game in Washington was 6 inches away from them getting the ball back at the end of the game to go tie it.
Yeah.
So they are, he's done a marvelous job. Those guys are playing physical. Now, the other team in the state, Arizona, that I saw last week, that is work in progress. That's going to take some time. Herman's got it going over there.
Good talk.
So we'll talk a lot about that tomorrow, correct?
Yes. And then we'll hopefully have another wonderful soundbite from somebody somewhere across the country.
Good. We'll try to bring that for you. Thank you.
You got it.
That was awesome of Brock Huard to join us from Brock and Salk on ESPN 710 in Seattle. And he'll come in tomorrow at 6:15, and we'll focus a little bit more on ASU. So a ton of Cardinals today, especially with the Von Miller smack talk. An awful lot of Manny Machado, if you didn't see what he did last night. We got to get into that. But up next, the debut begins tonight. The DeAndre Ayton era starts. What do you want to see? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Suns home opener tonight. And starting at 7 o'clock this morning here on the Doug and Wolf Show, we'll be giving you a Suns roundtable. 1 hour's worth of straight Suns conversation to get you ready for the DeAndre Ayton era.
You know, I was talking to DeAndre today. You know, I was told him I'm more excited for him. You know, it's the start of, you know, his legacy, you know, his new career. I told him that today in his locker. And, you know, my job is to make it special for him and, you know, not make it like my first 3 years. So turn around, let him be known as a winner, let our whole organization turn around to a winning franchise.
So starting this month a year ago, Devin Booker's been allowed to legally drink. And now we're at the point where Devin Booker is talking about, I'm excited for somebody else to start their legacy. That's still a little weird for Devin Booker to be the sage in the room and the age-old veteran. But how about that little tidbit there? It's my job to make sure his first 3 years aren't like my first 3 years.
He's talking about in terms of winning and losing games, of course. Honestly.
Or in internal combustion, or in the losing and what it leads
to.
Yeah,
sure. Whatever it may be. Let me just say this right now. The only thing that I'm looking from DeAndre Ayton tonight is going to be intensity, ladies and gentlemen. That's the only thing I'm looking from him. That's the only thing I want to see is intensity. Forget about the points. Forget about the rebounds. I don't care about it. I really don't. I don't care about any numbers. Don't tell me about a number. I want to see effort. I want to see intensity brought to the floor. Intent. I want to see him intentional and play the game with results.
You don't want him to prove that's better than Doncic?
Exactly right. That's what I want to see from DeAndre Ayton.
Is that because we didn't see a lot of that in the summer league?
That's because honestly, Paulie, again, I think he played better in the preseason games. I don't think there's
any doubt
about that. I think he played better. I think he's going to continue to improve. But again, the one thing he can have right now, besides numbers, the one thing he can have, heart, right? Intensity, drive. I want to see that. I want to see the effort. I want to see a furrowed brow. I don't want to see, we're out here playing. Isn't this great? This is the NBA, and I'm playing in my first game, and I'm smiling and loving it. I want to see some intensity.
Okay. Well, you sort of went where I thought you might go, and I'm just warning you, you might need to buckle up, Ron Wolfley, based on what he said yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I'm an entertainer. I don't look at myself as a basketball player. I like to entertain people. I don't like doing jump hooks all day. I like to run and jump, shoot the ball. So doing this is fun.
That's why I said it, Paul, because I heard him say that.
I hope.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, I hope intensity is a part of entertaining. I hope that winning is a part of entertaining. Because, Doug, do you have that Devin Booker cut again? To me, he's talking about DeAndre Ayton, but that's the first time I've heard that Devin Booker. I really like that comment from Devin Booker because it's more revealing and telling about Devin Booker and his disgust and distaste with all the losing.
You know, I was talking to DeAndre today. You know, I was told him I'm more excited for him. You know, it's the start of, you know, his legacy, you know, his new career. I told him that today in his locker. And, you know, my job is to make it special for him and, you know, not make it like my first 3 years. So turn around, let him be known as a winner, let our whole organization turn around to a winning franchise.
I mean, he's borderline bitter over his first three years. And I can only pray that DeAndre Ayton has as much problem with as much losing as the Suns have done, 25, 24, and 21 wins the last 3 years, that he is concerned about winning and losing, and it's not about entertaining.
There is absolutely no way under normal circumstances we would stop talking about DeAndre Ayton, but something happened last night, and you have to hear about it. Let me tell you first, so the Charles Schwab Cup Championship comes to Phoenix Country Club November 8th through the 11th, and we're giving you the chance to win tickets. Just visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com for your chance to win tickets to the day of your choice inside the Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers Lounge. Last night, the Los Angeles Dodgers in the bottom of the 13th inning are a winner to tie the series.
Ground ball, base hit into right field. Machado's on his way home. Throw to the plate, and the Dodgers will win it. They win it 2-1.
And yet, nobody is talking about the fact that the Dodgers ended up as the winner.
Everyone has their own opinion. He's a player that has a history of those types of incidents. You know, one time's an accident, repeated over and over and over again. You're just a dirty player. It's a dirty play by a dirty player, and that's what it is.
Wow.
He's real lucky that Aguilar didn't walk over and got Roughneck Odor and just straight right him. I mean, just come over and just drop him based on that. Of course, he couldn't really see. He's catching the ball, and he can't really see peripherally, you know, what exactly. But when you see the right field camera angle, when you see the reversal and Machado coming right at you on that replay, I mean, there is no doubt.
If you didn't see it, bottom of the 10th inning last night, Machado ground ball, one of the few times in his life he's hustling somewhat down first base. And then Aguilar, mini stretch. He didn't have to stretch very far because it was kind of an easy out. And then Machado, for some reason, Aguilar does leave his foot on the base a little longer than what's normal, but there's plenty of base for Machado. Machado is running and he puts his right foot on the base. And the reason why that's important is your right foot is to the outside. It's your left leg that's closer to Aguilar. And then all of a sudden he goes dead leg, drags his left leg kind of behind him and clips the top of the calf of Aguilar. And in that position, it is very easy to really tear an Achilles with your leg exposed like that.
You could have done some damage.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. And it's an intent to injure.
There's no way, and I don't want to, I know some of you, if you're a Machado apologizer, I'm not really talking to you, but
stop.
There's no way that you hit a first baseman in that manner with it being unintentional.
You cannot.
That's impossible to do that in an unintentional manner. You can clip a foot. Sometimes you can kind of, you know, if the guy's foot is a little too far, there are ways that it's not your fault. There is no way, if you see that the contact was unintentional.
Sure.
It's impossible to clip a guy that way. And when you think of then the damage that could have been done, this is one of those things where this gets resolved in May. Because you're not going to plunk anybody now.
Really?
And you've got, I know it's close.
Craig Council?
And
I don't
if
know.
Machado,
that is old school.
If Machado stays with the Dodgers, then it will actually get handled in March. I'm going to a game in Maryvale on Camelback. I'll tell you that right now.
Unless it's an 8-1 game and the Dodgers,
that's,
you know.
True.
I mean,
if there's a blowout.
Right. Unless the Brewers are leading, they go, okay, now it's time
exactly
to take care
right,
of it.
Paulie.
Here's the thing. Shouldn't there be justice right now from Rob Manfred? I mean, you have new rules protecting the catcher at home plate. You have new rules protecting the middle infielders turning a double play at second base.
Oh, yeah.
Shouldn't you step in and protect your first baseman in this case?
Well, that's a really interesting
doubt,
point.
Paulie.
Because imagine if he did that. Imagine if Manfred came out right now and said, here's the rules. Machado is suspended for game 5.
Well, how about
boom,
that?
You're out.
That would be
and
brutal.
Then you instruct the umpires publicly. If the Brewers seek retaliation, that's an immediate ejection and suspension. That way you get it solved now. I just don't think the Brewers are going to do something in a playoff setting. Because, man, that's a tough loss to lose a guy in the playoffs.
And Machado, not only are you dirty, but how stupid are you? I mean, there's 8 million cameras out there for a playoff game. Do you think you're getting away with that?
You're not
that?
Playing for the Orioles down 40 right. games, you know?
Right. You know, and you're on some sort of closed-circuit TV, Orioles TV, on the web somewhere when you've lost 116 games. You're in the NLCS. You think you're going to get away with that?
Yeah.
It's amazing, too, Paulie. Apparently, he's got a reputation for doing this. I did not know this, Basinonians. I did not, right? But he cleated, I guess, Dustin Pedroia last year, as a matter of fact.
Oh, fine diminutive American.
Yes, you know what? I guess this is kind of who he is, and I'm thinking to myself, Basinonians, you got to be kidding me. This is Manny Machado, a talent that is that good. Man, you're killing yourself. On the free agent market.
And this is Christian Yelich.
It just has no place in me. It really doesn't. It's unacceptable. And I don't know what his problem is, honestly. I've known him and played against him for a long time. It has no place in that game.
I've known him. I've played against him for a long time. Basically, that's who he is.
You
and he's a free agent, right? He's a free agent?
Yes.
So this is his chance?
Yeah.
And this is the personal brand he's putting on international display?
I mean, you want that on your team, no matter how good the guy is. You want that?
Teams are going to invest in that as the face of their team?
Man, it's just a bad look, period.
Coming up next, what kind of look was this?
I want to say it's a must win. We're going to kick the ass, though. Oh. Make sure you put that up there. We're going to kick the ass.
Make sure you put that up there. Boy, suddenly Broncos Cardinals became important. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. DeAndre Ayton era begins tonight, so our Suns roundtable starts in 15 minutes. Suns analyst Tim Kempton will come in studio with us as well.
I love that. Timmy coming in studio.
Spending an hour just sitting talking Suns. By the way, one thing that I should know this anyway, but I don't. Bear, would you consider yourself a very trustworthy kind of person? Like somebody that we could give money to and know it will be treated fairly? Or would you just run with it? All right.
What a weird question. Look at the look on Bear's face.
Here's why I bring this up. Nobody won Mega Millions last night, so it's up to 860 some odd million.
I see.
Okay, 860 million. And our own Jamie West from our news station runs a pool. Every time it gets big.
Yeah.
But she says, I can't run the pool for Friday. And Jamie is on a streak right now, seriously, a 12-year streak since I've worked here, of losing Mega Millions.
Loser.
So since she's a 12-year straight loser, I'm thinking we need to recruit somebody to take over the pool.
Mega Thousands, so, I think she's lost.
I see. So, yes, probably has. So, Bear, I might be nominating you to run a station pool of putting our money together and winning the $860 million.
Especially
I've
when
never
you consider
even
interest.
Bought a lotto ticket.
You really haven't? You never have?
No.
Way to go, Bear. Yeah, I'm proud of you, man. You haven't walked into a 7-Eleven or walked into a Circle K and said, give me a scratcher.
I never have.
Wow. Boy, am I a derelict.
I've been thinking about it. I drive by the billboards every morning.
Boy, am I a derelict.
And I see the triple digits.
I've never done it. I have a rule. If I have ones.
Give Bear the wolf hop.
And I'm getting gas. That's my rule.
The first right there. The wolf hop.
To be quite honest,
I don't want that button.
Boy, you're killing us right now.
I wasn't ready for you to.
You were ready for that. I mean, give Bear the wolf howl. See how that works? Thank you.
So this is the beautiful part of the program. He gets a bear growl.
It's
this is the beautiful
fest.
Part of the program that is designed for you to take a look at the Cardinals offense versus the Broncos defense.
Yes, okay.
However, how can you possibly put that together and even remotely talk about the strategy behind these two things if you have a scenario where you have one defender saying...
Fans talked about tackling being more of a mindset.
Yeah, that was last week.
In terms of your teammates, how do you spread that?
We're going to be better this week. That was last week.
Okay, you're
week
sure?
Before.
You're sure you're going to do better?
This is the most irritated I've seen you. Are you irritated?
No, I'm not irritated. I'm just confident. Okay. You know, I'm confident in myself. I'm confident in my teammates, most importantly. And that's what we need. I'll be ready to go.
He's irritated.
You're talking about Von Miller.
He's irritated because the president called the defense soft.
Yes.
So then he took that from the president and turned and looked at the Cardinals and said,
I want to say it's a must win. We're going to kick the ass, though.
Oh.
Make sure you put that up there. We're going to kick the ass.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you're going to put that up there.
I hate to tell you, is strategy out the window for the offense right now?
No, the strategy does not go out the window based on what somebody says. Listen, I think he's frustrated and he's trying to motivate his team for the most part. But again, I think the Arizona Cardinals, they need to know, A, he means it, and B, what are you going to do about it? That's what it comes down to. They need to understand that and regurgitate that and then go out there and kick his butt. That's what listen, this might be the shortest game in the history of the NFL. I've been talking about this for the last 2 days. Both teams are going to try to run the ball. And I mean, go into this game with a dark heart and a painted face. There is desperation, I would say, on both teams, right? I mean, the Cardinals are desperate to play well at home and to win a game. And the Denver Broncos know this is their season right here.
I think everybody knows it, but your research in Doug Stat, no team in the history of the NFL has ever given up 200 yards rushing to two different running backs in two successive weeks. And they just did that. The Broncos did it with the Jets and then with the Rams. If you're the Cardinals, you got to be looking at it. We can't that's be exactly a team that's right. So bad we can't run against that rush.
The Cardinals are going to try to – they're looking at this game like this is the game David Johnson gets going.
Yep.
This is the game we're going to line up. And you know what? We've been trying to get the ball to David Johnson. 22 carries, 18 carries, 18 carries. Now all of a sudden, 25 to 30 carries for David Johnson in this game. I fully expect that. If David Johnson has 30 carries, I won't bat an eyeball tomorrow night at all. I expect him to get 25 to 30 carries somewhere in there. Denver's defense, dead last in the league, number 32 in yards per game, number 32 in yards per play. Ladies and gentlemen, you put those two things together. You hear me talk about this all the time. You are what you are at this point of the season. That is a very telling stat. And then you put the tape on. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. But here's the thing you've got to know. The Arizona Cardinals, number 32 in rushing yards per game, number 32 in rushing yards per play. You've got the worst rush defense taking on the worst rushing team in the league. What? You know, the old unstoppable force meets the immovable object. In this case, it's the stoppable force meets the movable object. Something's got to give. But I will say this. The best way to block Von Miller and Bradley Chubb is to run the ball right at them. Run the ball. That's the best way to block them. They obviously haven't been making a big impact on their rush defense. So when you hear them say, you know, especially the Cardinals can't block us, they're not going to be able to block us. Well, apparently there have been teams out there that have blocked you, Von Miller. Otherwise, you'd be making all the tackles, right? You'd be making tackles, and teams wouldn't be killing your defense. That's exactly what they're doing. They're lining up, and they're running the ball, and run the ball right at them in a north-south kind of way. That's what's going to happen in this game. And the Broncos, too. I'm telling you right now, the Broncos flip it over. They're salivating after watching the 49ers tape and last week's game against the Vikings. They are salivating. The 49ers love 21 personnel, and they loved it against the Cardinals. 21 personnel, two backs, ladies and gentlemen, a fullback, two backs, including a fullback, one tight end, two wide receivers. 21 personnel is what it's called, regular people in the NFL. The 49ers loved it, and they ran against the Arizona Cardinals, and that nickel package where you have two backers, three safeties, first and 10, second and 1-6, classic rundown situation. They lined up and they ran 21 personnel. And guess what? They didn't just run the ball out of 21 personnel. They went ahead and used play action to throw the ball. And they used it effectively. Guess who has a fullback and who loves 21 personnel? The Denver Broncos. They're going to line up with Andy Janovich, their fullback, and he's a good fullback. He's very similar to Kyle Juszczyk of the 49ers. The similarities are there.
I can't think. Okay, I realize how bad these teams are, but I don't remember ever a game where you have human emotion wrapped up to the level of this game. You have the president of the team of the Broncos saying all of you are soft to his team.
Yeah.
If you get run over by David Johnson, guess what that means? Your boss is right. So you have everybody on point. And look at it from a Cardinal standpoint. Steve Keim, I mean, if you're Michael Bidwill and Steve Keim's your general manager, and Steve Keim put together an offensive line that can't run against that defense, what do you have? If you have David Johnson, he can't get going against that defense. Mike McCoy, who are you? I mean, everybody thinks they're better than the other team. When do you get in a game?
Let's go. I'm fired up. Let's go, Phoenix Suns.
That's Tim Kempton.
Oh, my goodness. That was Timmy. You got to be kidding me.
And that means the Phoenix Suns Roundtable starts next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.